Welcome to episode 20 of the Bourbon Business Smash with Gail and Corey Knott. I'm very excited that we're bringing our very first guest on this podcast, Randy Lyman. Randy is the owner of Lakeshore Local SEO, and he's a member of Lyft, our online coaching community, and he's been a client of ours for years. He is going to describe his journey from going as a solo consultant in blogging and SEO into building his SEO agency. And I believe that this is going to be very helpful for you, especially if you've been thinking about growing your business from just a one-person business to a multi-person business. Randy's mission is to help local businesses get found and get more sales when people search near me or open now for products and services. Local SEO can make a difference. Now, I do have to apologize. My audio on this recording isn't the greatest. I'm learning, and I think I finally learned my lesson on the best use of my microphone for recording this podcast. So I do apologize that my audio isn't great. However, Randy's and Corey's is perfect. So enjoy this interview, and thank you for being here.
Welcome, Randy. Thanks for joining us for this episode.
Hi. Thanks. Glad to be here.
Randy.
Thank you. It's always an honor.
So first, we start off with our drink for the evening, and Randy selected a Manhattan, but we did it slightly differently.
Normally, Manhattan is basically what, whiskey and vermouth, or bourbon and vermouth, and or rye and vermouth, but we didn't have any sweet vermouth, and Gail's not a big fan of vermouth. I looked around for different alternatives, and I had a bottle of port, which I'm thinking is not as sweet as I was hoping it would be. And so we mixed the port with the rye bourbon and, of course, and then added the bitters to make a rye port Manhattan. And you could also do it with like simple syrup. And I probably should have added a little bit of that to this, but it's not bad. Could be a, I don't know. What do you think, Gail? Is it yours or something you like, or would you like it a little different?
I tend to like more of a sweeter drink. Sour drink. Like I like sweeter sour. Yeah, it's all right.
This tastes a little like a Negroni, which is like the Aperol in the bourbon, which has a little bit, just slight bitterness to it.
The whiskey sour would have been my other choice. I love whiskey sours.
We do one with an Amaretto, which is just freaking amazing. So we'll do that anytime.
Amaretto was really popular in the 80s. Mm-hmm. Everybody's drinking Amaretto and Midori. Those were the two liqueurs that like everybody drank in the 80s.
And I like to mix our stuff. We don't usually drink it straight, but we use a lot of Amaretto in the 80s for making truffles.
What kind of bourbon did you use?
This is the Bullet Rye. It's the only rye I have on hand, surprisingly.
I like Bullet. There's another brand that I like for both their whiskey and the bourbon and the rye is Redemption.
Oh, yeah. Redemption Rye is excellent. I just don't have any. Great. Another one that I really like, it's a local one. It's Moylan's makes a wonderful rye. It's just fantastic. I could go through bottle after bottle of that if you can get it. Sometimes Costco has it. It takes me a while to get through a bottle, but it might be my favorite whenever I open one. And Moylan's, for those who don't know, is a brewery in Marin County, but they also have apparently a distillery.
Cool.
Yeah. So you're drinking something different. What are you drinking, Randy?
Oh, yeah. And it's just because I forgot to get some bourbon. So I've been like completely on kombucha kick lately. Partly for gut health, but partly I didn't drink kombucha for a long time because I'm like, oh, just another trendy drink. All the new age people are drinking and so what? And like, then I tried one. I was like, this is really good. And so now I'm like completely hooked on kombucha now.
We tried making it once and then we weren't really sure. We were too scared to drink
it. I drank it. I finished a number of them. I need a new SCOBY. The SCOBY got old. It was the second batch that I was more concerned about.
We do want to try it again, but I'm glad you brought that because I would love to try making it again.
I was going to say, maybe when the baby is older and we have time to actually do some crafts.
No, I'm supposed to do more with Kaden now. Like she has her levels of independence. But anyway, Randy, I'd love to ask you how you got started in business. I know you've had several businesses. What inspired you to start Lakeshore Local?
This in particular was a combination of things. I've had a number of businesses throughout my career. And I think that each time I learn a little better how to do it, how to actually run a business. But in fairness, when I started my first time as a freelancer in the 1980s doing desktop publishing on a Mac Plus, there weren't that many people who could do it. And it was really easy to be a freelancer with not that much level of stuff. It's gotten so much more complicated now. And to the point where one person like me can't handle every aspect of somebody's marketing. If I talk to the two of you, I talk to other people that we know. You got to have one person for your SEO, one person for your ads, one person for your Instagram, one person for your LinkedIn. It's like, it's expensive and fragmented to market yourself these days. Anyhow, so that's a long-winded way of getting to it. But in terms of local SEO, it brings together a couple of things that have been throughout my career. And one is that I've always been somehow working communications in writing, in editing, in video, in some fashion. And so I've been talking to people about what's technically called on-page optimization, which basically means writing for the internet, writing so your blog post can get found. But also there's a whole other strain to my whole other side to my life, which has been very much an activist strain. I've been a journalist. I've worked for activist organizations and nonprofits and doing communications for them as well. And as the two, but it's taken me a little while to, like, I've gone through different iterations to try to figure out what are my services. And then I hit on local SEO as a way of bringing these things two things together in that it's still about the writing and the search engine optimization, but it's also about helping local businesses. And that brings, because I've always been involved in my various jobs and activism, helping local businesses and helping local people. And it's a way of bringing that together. And it really came home to me during the pandemic when, you know, all these businesses in my neighborhood, I watched them come into being after the recession ended and just my whole neighborhood sprang into life. And then during the pandemic, half of them closed again. And it really just drove home to me just how much of a role that local business plays in our individual lives, in the lives of the community, in the health of a community. And so local SEO is a way of bringing together my writing side and my activist side into something something that businesses all need. Just to wrap up, is like half of all searches on Google, 46% are for local searches. This is a huge need and a huge area that, and it's one of the few ways that neighborhood businesses can actually compete against larger stores, because it's all about how close you are to the searcher.
Yeah, I definitely saw that as well, seeing so many businesses suffer and not being able to continue or just having a harder time during the pandemic when walk-in traffic isn't as easy to come by.
But yeah, it's businesses closed, that the ones that I go to all the time, like my local coffee house on the corner is the one I always talk about. I was so thrilled when a coffee house opened on my corner. It's like one of my biggest dreams in a living situation is a coffee house on the corner. And then I went there for years and then it closed down. And a lot of the other places I know, the restaurants.
Oh, no.
And
the corner that we would meet at? What was that name?
It was Grand Lake Coffee House, and then it was Perch. And yeah. Then it closed early in the pandemic, very early, like around May of 2020 or something like that, because nobody could come in.
Yeah.
And they sold it to a single use store that's now also temporarily at least out of business, because the health department or somebody, city officials started clamping down on them for stupid stuff. So there's nothing there right now. It's just, it's a shame.
Oh, that's sad.
It's a good spot.
It's a great service that you're providing. And that slight pivot that you went from on-page optimization to local SEO, it's the same thing. It's just somewhat of a pivot in terms of from a service to a need. I need to get found in my local community. And they may not know what exactly the service is that they need, but they know they need to get found.
It just fits the need better. It in many ways, I'm doing the same thing I was doing before, but I flipped everything on its head and put the SEO to the front and then just focused in on, because local SEO is a very specific niche. It's a very unique part of search engine optimization in general. And you still have to do that general stuff with the keywords and everything else. But then there's a few extra things that you have to do that really set it apart. And different ways of dealing things. And like I said, it's a huge need right now.
Because going back to a little bit of what Gail was just talking about with your pivot and knowing the different things that you've done in the past, and this is that's a big move forward for you. And I know you have big plans you're welcome to share some of that. What have you found to be challenging in this change of business for you?
The biggest change has been not in the subject matter itself. The biggest change has been in redefining myself as an agency instead of as a freelancer or a consultant or an independent consultant or whatever, because it's a completely different mindset. Even though I'm doing the same thing, it's not this. I have to think about things that I really wasn't thinking about before, or just having to put a new emphasis on things. Like I've been reading a lot of books on how to run a digital marketing agency and learning a number of new things. But the one thing I had a mentor at SCORE, or I guess I still haven't, he was helping with the business plan. And our first meeting, I said, what's the one thing that nobody is telling me about running an agency that makes this difference? And she goes, it's very simple. With ROI. She says you have to pay attention to your ROI on every single detail of everything. And I'm like, and I said, okay, I don't know how to do that, but I'll figure it out. And so that's been the single biggest challenge, is just thinking about how to run an agency that I want to scale to be bigger than me instead of just it being me. Because scaling up before has always meant me doing more stuff. And right, how scalable is that? It's not.
Right.
So I decided to just go, you know what? And it was accidental. Here's the funny thing. I wasn't even thinking about starting an agency. I was actually just researching solutions for blogging, like those artificial intelligence things, because that's the biggest problem. We can get into that. It's another question maybe. But the biggest thing, that the issue that people have, is their blog and their website. And so I started looking at, what are these alternatives besides just sitting down and working it all out yourself? Like, who can you pay to do it? And just one thing led to another. And as I just kept going, it just morphed into becoming an agency, offering a variety of other services as well as the blogging.
What's been working for you in getting your first clients for your agency?
What's been working the best is suddenly having clarity. This is what that pivot did, is all of a sudden everything became very clear. And very easy to package, and very easy. Here's the new word I learned, productize. This is what all these books I've been reading about how to market your agency are all about, productizing. It's like coming up with a list of things for a price that you can then multiply it and just go, oh, order 10 of these. And it's not, I didn't know that, but it's just been a struggle to come up with it. But being able to do that and being able to define my niche very cleanly and clearly, that's been the single biggest thing.
Where do you see things actually going in the next couple of years? And doing this agency, you've got to start projecting ahead and looking at the trends and where things are going and what people are going to want from you. So what do you see the industry going for, or where do you see SEO going in the next 5 years?
Okay, actually, those are two really different. Those are two.
All right, questions. Answer both.
Where do I see myself going? That's yet a third question. Okay, the industry, the digital marketing industry, is only growing right now. The prospects of this are looking really good right now. This is actually a good time, business-wise, for me to be starting a digital marketing agency. Precisely because of what I said at the beginning, the need is growing and so much, and it's become so complex that you need someone who understands it. And things change day to day, minute to minute. And in particular, a lot of change is happening in the realm of local search that the average person just can't keep up with. That's where the industry is changing. And where is search going? But that's a question. I don't think it's going away, but it's changing fantastically, because search has gotten to the point where it's like the search algorithms can read the text on a photo. And so that means image-based search. In other words, it can identify images. So think about what that means. If you're a business with retail business with a lot of products, you can put text on the photos and upload the photos to your Google business profile, and it understands what's in the pictures. And so that can help you to be more competitive. And also natural voice search. The younger generation, they just speak a question and, hey, Google, how do I do this, that, and the other? Instead of focusing on typing in a couple keywords like old people like me do. Natural voice search is where it's going. And these AI algorithms, it's not just these writing tools. It's like it's in everything now. And Google gets what you're trying to say, and your devices understand what you're trying to say, whether you're using keywords or fancy language or not. So it's things are rapidly changing, and the search engine results pages are changing, and who knows? And it's a lot of work just to keep up with this stuff. But in terms of then where I want to go, like I want to right now, I want to be like a first stop for a small business. Let's try to understand what's your situation. I was like, let's just get oriented first. But over time, I want to really grow into something much larger. And I already have some high-end services that I can offer, but also to have a real team of people who could be doing stuff. And I don't really know how I'm going to do that yet. I have some thoughts on it, but it's something I'm going to have to deal with soon, because the way that I'm getting new prospects and clients now is like, it's great, but I can't take on that many more and do the work myself. This is going to be hopefully a near-term problem, but I want to be able, I read and I follow the blogs of all these like really major SEO agencies and who are dealing with huge clients and tens of thousands of Google business profiles. I don't even know how you do that. And yeah, I need a team of SEO analysts who are smarter than me to be able to handle all that work. So I don't know how I'm going to grow, but that's the plan, is to really grow into something larger for the next 5 years. But like I said, I don't really know how I'm going to do it yet, but I didn't know how to do any of this before either. So.
Well, it's great. You'll figure it out, and you have a network and resources to support you in that. And sometimes we don't always know the how, but as long as you got the vision, you'll be able to figure out the how.
Yeah. Some stuff you just can't really know in advance. And I know people out there know it. I'm thinking of just calling up some agency owners and just going, hi, I'm wondering if you'd just be willing over some coffee to just share some of your wisdom as I'm getting started.
We may know a couple.
Yeah, we know a few. We have a former client who's grown his agency, and maybe that could be a good connection.
Yeah, because like I said, I don't know how to do it, but it's this whole process has been building the airplane while I'm flying it.
Sorry, entrepreneurship there.
No, that's what it is. That's what it is.
Most of our audience and most of our clients are solo business owners, consultants, coaches. What would be a simple first step for a micro business to start moving in the direction to improve their local SEO?
Okay, first I would preface that by saying that not every business is right for local SEO. Basically, the real criteria for it is that it's physical location. And that doesn't mean that you have a... And that means either a place that clients and customers can come to visit you, or if you're like a plumber or a handyman or so, a service area that you serve. That could be out of your home. Google actually disallows home businesses or disallows home addresses from being on a Google business profile. Now, I had mine for a while, but that doesn't mean that you can't have a home business. But the real criteria is physical location. So that's the first thing. It's either you got to be out there in the real world. If you're just selling things online, you're not actually eligible for one, even though conceivably you could get away with it. But the first thing that I would recommend, the core of anything, if you're only going to do one thing, and of course one thing is never enough, but that is to have your Google business profile. And that's to just get that set up, because that's your shop window on the internet. This is how I'm starting to describe it to people. It's like your website is your store, and you want people to go in and buy things, or your physical location is your store. You want people to go in and buy things. But your Google business profile is your shop window. If somebody searches for my business by name, the first thing that's going to pop up is my knowledge panel, the information from my Google business profile. And they're going to look at that and decide whether they want to click through and either come visit me if I were that, or click through to the website. And it's the single most, and the Google business profile is also the single most important factor in your rankings. Next, right alongside your website, I will say. But the Google business profile is like the foundation of local SEO. And so that would be, if you're only going to do one thing, it would be that, is to get that set up.
And that's part of your services too, is to help them analyze their page, claim it, and optimize that?
Yes, that's the core of it. If someone is thinking of getting interested in local SEO, because it is so complex and overwhelming, you want to ramp up, start simple. And then ramp up. The blogging is like the big lift that everyone wants to resist. And even all the other stuff, even the reviews and the directory citations and the Google Business Profile, these are all separately small things, but they're the most important things of all. And they require ongoing maintenance, because keep in mind, it's not just about like your website. You can post things on your website and then you're done with it. But a Google Business Profile, other people can make edits, and that's to improve the service so that people can go, oh, they're actually not open on this hour right now, so I'm going to edit the hours and suggest a change. But people with not such good intentions use it to abuse and can actually drive business out of business through Google spam and review bombing and things like that. And unfortunately, there's not a lot that you can do about it sometimes. But the point is that just starting small and ramping up as you start to get familiar with it, because SEO takes time. I've read a lot of articles. That's one of the most common questions, is how long should you expect to see results? And like with ads, you can get results right away because you're paying for it and you're bombarding, but it's only good as long as you're actually paying. Organic results last longer, but it takes longer to get them. And you shouldn't really expect to see meaningful results for 4 to 12 months. And somewhere in that range, it's a long game, and you've got to stay on top of it. You can't just go, all right, here, I'm just going to pay you to update this and then just not have to think about it. It's like, it's a competitive world out there. And if you're not doing this stuff, your competitors are. It's like the main thing to keep it all in perspective. It's like, yeah, I know we all don't like marketing our business. We all just want to just do it, right? And look, I'm no different. We all just want to do our thing and not have to market our business. But you know what? It's something you got to just do. And this is a way to do it that's fairly accessible. And it's the one real online advantage that a local neighborhood business that can't compete with Amazon, it's the one real advantage that they may have, is local SEO, because so much of it can be done for free if you want to do the work yourself. And the effects of it are so powerful and long lasting. So it's a commitment. It's a relationship. Honestly, that's how I say it. It's a relationship and you got to work at it. Just like years ago, I moved into a house and I planted a lawn, bought this and put it all in from scratch. And I spent weeks preparing the ground and all that. And I'm like, this isn't a lawn. This is a relationship with a patch of grass. Because no, it totally was. You had to take care of it. You got to tend it. You got to weed it. You got to fertilize it. You got to water it. It's like, it took me a lot. I had a gorgeous lawn when it was done. It was awesome. But it was a relationship.
It's like our chickens. You get chickens because they look fun and you want the eggs. And now we're planning our vacations around how long we can be away
from. That doesn't really surprise me.
Thank you for being with us this evening.
Yeah.
Where can people find you?
Oh, excellent question. My website, lakeshorelocalseo.biz.
Right. Awesome.
Thank you, Randy.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Bourbon Business Smash. Let us know what you thought. If you would like to see more guests, which type of guests would be helpful for you? And also, since Randy's in the beginning of his agency journey, would you be interested in touching base with him 6 months from now, a year from now, 2 years from now, as he continues to grow his agency? I think that would be interesting as well. Contact us on all the social media platforms, Gail Knott, Corey M. Knott, or Take Wing Coaching. LinkedIn and Instagram is the best way to get a hold of me, at Gail Knott. Thank you again for listening to me. And we'll see you next time. Cheers to your success.